Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you to Living on Every Word.
Worship and sing a song of praise. Come into His house of joy sustained. Living on Every Word.
Some of us have this propensity to grumble and to be discontent about the circumstances around us. This is a common temptation. We walk through life just discontented about everything. I want to tell you that grumbling is sin. Now, discontentment is just the refusal to be satisfied with what God has given, what God has done, and what He intends to do in your life. And then it is the complaining and grumbling of His sovereign will and work in our lives.
Living on every word.
Living on every word. Father, we come before You in the name of Jesus. We thank You for the ancient words. God, how could we live apart from them, knowing that they bring life today, knowing that they rejoice our heart, they enlighten our eyes, where the Word of God comes and causes us to be born again. The Word of God that encourages us, exhorts us, yes, and sometimes rebukes us. Father, I pray for a people today that as we open the ancient word, the ancient text, that Father God, that we would know that there's nothing archaic about this ancient text. That Father, it brings life today. That Father, it brings joy today. That the Word of God is living and abiding and sharper than any two-edged sword today. And I pray, Father, that as we open it, it would come to pierce our souls so that Father, that when You speak to us, we'll go from this place forever changed. Forever changed. Oh, Father, I believe. We believe. There's power in these words. We ask, Father, in Your name, that as we settle into Your Word this morning, that, Lord, that the Spirit would illumine and empower. And that, Father, that we might not just be hearers of this ancient Word, but we'd go from this place doers. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. And for His sake, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. We have been looking at the common temptations that we all face in this life. We've looked at the common temptation of fear and worry. We have looked at the common temptation of unbelief. This morning, I want us to look at, well, I'll tell you in a minute, okay? Let's go to chapter 20, verse 1. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Verse 2. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, that's a one day's wage, it's the equivalent to one day's wage. For some of you, it's 40 bucks, 50 bucks, 100 bucks, 120. But anyway, they settled this and they went to work for him. And when he went out about the third hour, that's about 9 a.m., and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, you too, go into the vineyard, and whatever's right, I will give you. And so they went. And he went out at he went out about the sixth hour. And folks, that's about noon. And he went out in the ninth hour, 3 o'clock, did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day long? And they said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you too go into the vineyard. And when evening had come, see, when the workday was over, this owner of the vineyard, he comes to the foreman. He says, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received, watch this, a denarius. The folks that worked 1 hour received a full day's wage. I want to ask you, all the employers here, how many of you employers like to do that? Not many of us. We want a full day's work, honest work. But this owner decides to do something that most owners don't do. He came to the last part of the day and said, here's your paycheck. And they look at it and behold, it's a whole day's wage. Now, when those hired first came, they thought, just like you and I would think, that they would receive more than the day's wage. But they also received each one a denarius. And when they received it, and here's the common temptation, folks, they grumbled. They grumbled against the landowner. He said, listen, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day. How dare you reward them like that? When we have done all the work all day long, we have something, you bet, to grumble and to complain about. And man, we're grumbling and complaining against you today. How could you do what you've just done? And the scripture says, but he answered and said to them, to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours, go your way. But if I wish to give this, to this last man the same as to you, is this not lawful for me to do what I wish to do with my own money? Or is your eye, watch this, envious because I am generous? Thus the last shall be first and the first last. Of course, this wonderful parable is about you and me. See, folks, I could walk, I could follow Christ and begin following Him at 8 years old and be faithful all my life till I'm 99 years old and I die. And you could come to Christ after living a vile and unholy life at 98 years old and live for Him 1 year and gain the same reward of the Lord Jesus Christ as I do. That's the kind of God we serve, my friends. That's the kind of God we serve. That no matter where you've been and how long you've been there, our God will reward you the inheritance, the same inheritance as one who's walked all his life. And you say, that's not fair. No, I'm going to say, that's our great God. That's our great God. When you come to this passage of Scripture, you see something of these folks that you see in every one of us. And that is the propensity to grumble and to be discontent about the circumstances around us. This is a common temptation. It is as common to worry and to walk in fear. It is as common to lust. It is as common to be angry and to be bitter. This common temptation to walk in this life discontent over our circumstances and then grumbling and complaining about them. I bet some of you did this morning. Didn't you? Some of us grumbled this morning. We grumbled because the spouse was late and wasn't hurrying. The kids were just dallying along. We're going to be late. I hate being late. Some of us complain about the weather. Some of us complain about how tired we are. And it would have been better just to stay in bed today. Some of us have complained about our finances. Some of us have complained about having nothing to wear. I know that in a home where there's women and there's girls, that there's always just kind of the complaining that, hey, I've got a rip in my hose and I don't know where I'm going to get the next one, you know. Of course, I've never had that problem on a Sunday morning, thank God. Folks, that was just this morning. Not that didn't happen in our household this morning, but okay. But some of us have this perpetual problem in complaining about the people in our lives and the circumstance of our lives. We walk through life just plain old discontented about everything. We grumble and we complain. I want to tell you, that grumbling is sin. It is sin. When you look at the passage of Scripture that we're going to look at this morning, you're going to see that, folks, that this sin is just as serious. It's just as serious as any other sin. And that we must check our lives and to say, God, where am I discontent? Now, discontentment is just the refusal to be satisfied with what God has given, what God has done, and what He intends to do in your life. And then it is the complaining and grumbling of His sovereign will and work in our lives. Now, if you'll notice in this parable that when you walk in discontentment, it will always produce ungratefulness. It will always produce an ungratefulness. When I look at my circumstances and I become discontent, what happens is I miss out on what all God is doing in my life. I mean, when you look at these men who stood at the marketplace when this man came and hired them, folks, they didn't have a regular job. I mean, they didn't have an ongoing job. I mean, they were at the work pool. They were at the work pool. They were unemployed. And so, and early in the morning, they're waiting for work, and they're grateful for work. And so this guy comes and hires them, and they say, like lots of people who've lost their jobs, I get to go to work today. I get to provide with my hands today. And so they walk through this whole day knowing that they're going to get paid, knowing that they're going to provide for their family, only to come up and complain and grumble about somebody else's pay. And what happens is they forget the initial and the command to always be thankful, to always be grateful, as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Instead of thanking their God at the end of the day, they're grumbling about it. You know, I tell you what, when you look at circumstances, no matter how difficult they are, you've got two choices. You can grumble about them or you can pray about them. And I want to ask you folks, are we grumbling or are we praying about the circumstances that are surrounding our lives today? See, discontentment will always produce ungratefulness in our lives. And in a second, it always produces an ungodly comparison. And then envy. That's what the landowner said. The landowner said, listen, why are you so envious toward them and toward me and my money? You're complaining because you're discontent. And what happens is you've compared yourself to someone else. And you look at them and you say, why are they getting that when I can't, when I'm not getting that? I've worked all my life. I've prayed all my life. And here this guy comes along. He prays for an hour and he gets what he wants. What happens? I'll compare my spirituality to that person. I will be envious toward that person. And folks, what will happen is I'll just plain miss out on what God has done in my life. Because I've concentrated on what I feel like he hasn't done and what I think I deserve. Third thing, when I think about this discontentment in my own life, I see that it produces that looking back spirit. Ecclesiastes 7:10 says, do not say, why is it that the former days were better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask about this. Folks, when you long for the good old days, Scripture says there's no wisdom in that. You know why? Because if you're in Christ, today's the good old days. And you miss out on that. You miss out looking back and wondering why you haven't been blessed the way you think you ought to be blessed. And when all along God has blessed you with just such insurmountable glory and goodness and mercy and giftedness, how he has provided for everything that you need. Fourth, this discontentment will produce a grumbling, which produces destruction. 1 Corinthians 10:10, the major passage that we've been looking at over the past several weeks. He says, don't grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. When Paul is talking about this, he's talking about the children of Israel, who always had something to complain about. Always in their minds had something to complain about. Go to Numbers chapter 11, if you would. Numbers chapter 11. Notice they're complaining. Now, when they came out of Egypt, they complained about everything. I mean, they had seen the plagues. They had seen the mighty power of God. They have seen the oceans, the sea split in two. They have seen the promises of God and the provision of God. But yet when they get out there, they complain because there's not enough water. They complain because there's nothing to eat. And each time God provides water, then he provides bread. He provides the manna from heaven. And then one day they come along and they say, we are sick and tired of this bread. Somebody give us meat. We want meat. The Scripture says in verse 1 of chapter 11, that the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled. The fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. The people therefore cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died out. But look at verse 4. There were rabble who were among these folks. They had greedy desires. They were sons of Israel, and they wept again, and they said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the good old days. The good old days of slavery. The good old days of Egypt. We remember the fish we used to eat free in Egypt. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. But now our appetite is gone. There is nothing at all to look at except this old manna. We want meat. The Lord God says, okay, you want meat? I'm going to give you meat. Look at verse 18. He said to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. You shall eat meat. You have wept in the ears of the Lord saying, oh, that someone would give us meat. For we were well off in Egypt. We were better in Egypt than we are now. Folks, they were in slavery. And folks, I just want to tell you, being in the wilderness with just a very little, but having God is a whole lot better than being in Egypt without Him. Amen? So you want to go back to Egypt? You go back to Egypt. But I tell you what, there's a God in heaven that wants to move you to the promised land of His glory. Yes, there may be some trials. Yes, there may be some struggles. But folks, it's nothing to complain and murmur about. It's something to rejoice in because our God is at work in our lives. The Scripture says that He says, therefore, the Lord will give you meat and you shall eat. But listen, verse 19, you shall eat not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you because you've rejected the Lord who is among you and you've wept before Him saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? Did you know that can happen to anything that you eat? I mean, folks, if you had pizza for 30 days for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, do you think after 30 days you would like pizza? Who said yes? Okay. All right. I stand corrected. I say, you're crazy, David. The whole month, it's going to be loathsome to you. Folks, when the wind comes, the Lord causes this wind, and I mean when the quails start coming, the Scripture says that it is so deep that it takes a day's journey on one side of the camp and on the other side of the camp. You're looking at anywhere from, well, if you can walk 20 miles in a day, and I know some of you probably can't, and some of you might can walk 30 days, but I'm talking about, you're looking at a 50-mile radius of quail, 36 inches deep. That's how much God, and you know, that's how much God sent. And you know what they did? I mean, they dove in to the meat. They thought they needed meat. And God says, listen, all you need is me. You don't need any of this other stuff. I'm going to provide for you. But they dove in, and you know what they did that day? They worshiped quail. They worshiped meat. That's what they did. The Scripture says that while it was in their teeth, while they began baking it or cooking it, and while it was in their teeth, that God sent a plague because of the grumblings of their spirit and the grumblings of their heart. And I'm going to tell you, they got enough meat. But you know what, folks? God wants to give you enough of Him that will satisfy you all your days, even if you're in the wilderness. Folks, with the secret of contentment, these folks had a grumbling spirit. It produced destruction. When they grumbled against Moses, when they grumbled against the leadership, the Scripture said 30,000 people were destroyed because of their grumblings. God sent this plague. God sent this sickness. And I'll tell you, folks, as I've said before, you look at the sin of David with Bathsheba and the murder, and you look at it and you say, I didn't do that. But if you've grumbled in your spirit, if you've grumbled and complained in your heart, my friends, you look at the results of this in the children of Israel, which the Scripture says they were, the things that happened to them were written for our instruction. Now, I want to look at this message this morning. I want to look at this passage, and I say, God, I don't want to ever grumble again. Don't want to ever complain again. I want to walk after You with this contentment. You know what else happens is you miss God's blessing. You miss God's blessing when you complain and you murmur. We look at this passage of Scripture. The thing that I want to ask this morning, and I'm going to really run through this right now, is how do we escape the snare of discontentment? And you know what? The way it is you just learn the secret of contentment. You know, Paul said that. Paul said, listen, I have learned the secret of being content. I know how to get along in humble means, and I know how to get along in bounty. You know, there's some of us here that we don't know how to get along in bounty. We just don't know. Because, you know, oftentimes in our bounty, we look and we think, well, we don't really have anything because look at that person who has all that bounty. So what happens? We begin comparing ourselves again of what someone else has. And then we begin to be envious of what other people have. Or just not so much the stuff that they have, but the lifestyle that they live. And we begin to question. We question God's sovereign work. We question God's will and work in our lives. And, you know, Paul said, listen, I've learned this secret of being content. When he lived with the rich folks of Ephesus or Philippi, I'm telling you. And then when he was in the prison cell in Rome, in prison cells, he learned how to be content. When I look at Paul's life, this is what I see. I see a man who learned the secret of contentment by always rejoicing. In Acts 16:25, in that Philippian jail, after being beaten to a pulp, I mean just beaten, what does he do at midnight? He rejoices and praises his God. There is this thankfulness and this gratefulness of his God. And you go, what? How in the world can you thank God and rejoice after a beating? It's because he got beat for the sake of Christ. That's why. And so when we rejoice in the Lord, when we rejoice even in our circumstances, I want to tell you, you can find such great victory and such great peace. A few years ago, a number of years ago now, we were on the way to Colorado. And you know, when I'm on the way to somewhere, I want to get there. Okay?
I just want to get there. We don't want to stop. If we got to stop, we stop. And we do it all the same. We're going to stop one place. We're going to go to the bathroom. We're going to eat. We're going to do everything right there. And we're going to keep on going. And we're on the way to Colorado, and I can't wait to get to Colorado. I'm moving that way, moving that direction. All of a sudden, the heat lamp comes on, and I pull over and open up, and there's just spewing. It's just spewing. And, you know, I just going to tell you, I don't know what God was doing in my life that day, but I got out almost cheerful. And I don't know, I don't remember the whole extent of what I was doing, but my wife can testify today, if you want, that I didn't get mad, didn't get upset, didn't get impatient, didn't grumble, didn't complain about this circumstance, even though I wanted to get to Colorado that day. I was in Chama, New Mexico. We were traveling through. So I get out, there it is, there's a leak, and it's easy to get to. And I think the first thing I do, I say, well, what are we going to do? And I tell you, I just knew, there's something in my spirit that day that I was able to be thankful for, rejoicing with. And I looked over across the street, and there was this open garage, big, huge garage, no names on it, no advertisement on it. I walk over, there's a group of guys, mechanic and working on a truck. I ask for the boss comes up, good guy, just tall guy, I mean, clean cut, just didn't think he'd have a problem in the world. So anyway, I explained to him who I was, where we were going, and said, yeah, I can help you out. And we were driving with the Blankenships, and so we drove into town, got the part, came back, he put it on. And after he put it on, he says, funny that you said that you're a pastor, because I need somebody to talk to today. And I go to a church, and I asked some leadership in my church, and they said to me, Raymond, we can't help you at this church. We cannot help you find what you're looking for. And he said, I'm just struggling. And I said, I need somebody to talk to. I said, I looked at my wife. I said, I'll see you on the way back through. On the way back, no. You know, realized why I wasn't in a hurry. And we just kind of went over around the corner. He shared about the struggle that he had in his marriage. He's divorced. Struggling about what is he going to do. Struggling about just finding the peace of God in his life. And to make a long story short, he just said, yeah, I just tell you this, folks, I led him to the Lord that day. Just led him to the Lord. Prayed to receive Christ. Called a local church a couple days later and just said, hey, go see this guy. Don't know what's happened to him. Gave him a Bible. Gave him a promise keeper tape. And we went on our way and he went on his. And I tell you what, I think, you know, what if I would have complained and murmured and just got all frustrated because I'm a guy that likes to get where he's going and wants to get there as soon as he can. And then when he gets there, he's ready to go home. We've got to always rejoice. Always. God has everything that goes through our lives. We have an opportunity to see the glory of God, to see God glorified and exalted and moved in our lives. We rejoice always. And instead of grumbling and complaining, let's pray about it. Let's bring it before the Lord. The second thing is depend on God's grace, because you can't do that on your own. You need the grace of God. Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 12, said this. He said, listen, I have this thorn in my flesh, and I prayed 3 times that the God might remove it. And God said, no, no, no. Now, folks, sometimes when we think about that passage of Scripture, we think in one moment he kneeled down and he said, Lord, take this thorn of flesh away from me. And then the next minute, Lord, take it away, take it away. No, we're talking about 3 long seasons probably of this thorn in the flesh saying, God, would you remove this thing? Going along, God, would you remove this thing? Going along, would you remove this thorn in the flesh? And Jesus says, no, I'm not going to remove it because my power is perfected in weakness. And you know what he says? I will gladly be content in my weakness. I will gladly be content in my distresses. I will gladly be content in my persecutions, in my afflictions, because when I am weak, by the grace of God, I become strong. He depended upon the grace of God to get him through, to walk in this contentment. The third thing that Paul would do through his life was he would believe God's work in Romans 8, 28 and 29, that everything that was happening that he might be conformed to the image of Christ, which was his good. And then the fourth thing is he was satisfied with God's presence more than anything. You know, he said in Hebrews 13, 5, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I'll never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Philip said to the Lord one day, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. You know, we just sang this song that says, Lord, you're my only hope. You're the one. You are the only one. And you're the only one I'm longing for and the only one I need. And it's funny, you know, we live a life like we say, you know, we could sing that song to our Buick, the way we act about our stuff. That this is what I need in life. And folks, what you need in life, what I need in life, is this great relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that will pull me through, that I'll satisfy me with Him and Him alone, not with all the things of this world, because we know ultimately they never, ever satisfied. And then I want to be satisfied with God's provision. 1 Timothy 6:7 says, we have brought nothing into this world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. And in verse 8, he says this, he says, and therefore we will be content with food and with covering. You know, these things that Paul worked through his life, he always rejoiced. You'll see it time and time again in the Acts. He will always depend on God's grace. He will believe God's work. He will be satisfied with the presence of God, and he'll be satisfied with God's provision. I want to ask you, are you satisfied with these things? If you're not, you will become a discontented, grumbling person. You may already be that. Now, there's one other thing that I want to say, and we'll close with this. Never be spiritually content. Okay? Never be spiritually content. Don't be content with sinfulness and iniquity in your life. Don't ever be content with spiritual immaturity. Never be content with the spiritual strongholds of your life or your marriage or your family. No, those are the things that we don't want to be content with, because God says, I've got a plan for you to move you forward, to move you in. But it's with the physical things, with the circumstances of life, that I stand with God and I say, God, I rejoice in you because you have a great purpose for this. You have a great purpose in my life. So I will rejoice always, and I'll be satisfied with your presence, with your provision, knowing that you're working all these things out for your goodwill and your good pleasure. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that right now? Grumblers, discontent. We all struggle with it. But you can escape its snare. It's a common temptation. But our God has given to us a way of escape with every temptation. Some of you have been grumbling and complaining and discontent for the wrong things in life. And like with any message, I would say to you, if that's you, you can walk from this place free from a grumbling spirit. A negative attitude that always looks at the worst of things instead of the best of things. An attitude that is not of Christ. An attitude of ungratefulness of what God has done in our lives. See, folks, if I grumble today, it's because I'm not believing the promises of my sovereign God today. The promises that He secured and procured at the cross 2,000 years ago. I want to ask you to do something this morning. I want to ask you to do this. If you have found yourself progressively grumbling over your circumstances, I want to ask you to make a commitment to the Lord today that you'll just stop, according to the power of the Spirit of God. And instead of talking those negative things and complaining, you'll not do that. You'll look for the good things of the circumstance, and you'll look good for the good things in that person's life. And you will praise God and rejoice in Him for the great things that He has done in your life and being forever grateful. Folks, don't you want to live like that? It's not a happy thing living the other way. But to find your peace in your life in Him, in Him alone. Here's the word. Quit grumbling. Be content with the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has for your life. Father, I thank You today. I bless You and praise Your holy name. I thank You, Lord, that You do all things for our good who love You and are called according to Your purpose. That You come to use the circumstances of our days, whether they're financial difficulties, whether they are difficulties at home. Father, whatever the circumstance is, I ask in Jesus' name that You would give us eyes to see as Jesus sees and not walk in another day, another moment of discontentment and grumbling. Father, forgive us where we've done that, and come and set us on fire for the glory of God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929 or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.